just want to share something from the Word of God, hopefully briefly. Very familiar passage, Romans 12, verse 2. Or at least, I hope it's a familiar passage to you. It should be, right? We'll start with verse 1. And it says this there, in verse 1 of Romans 12. The apostle writes, well, let me just, if you're familiar with Romans, he spends the first 8 chapters just really explaining the power of the gospel and contrasting that with the law and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gets into, after the chapter 8, where he mentions why it's the life in the Spirit, he gets into the practical. But when it comes to 12, he cries out and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It doesn't need to be a dead sacrifice. Christ paid for, he did that for us, and we're called to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. And that word reasonable in the original, in the Greek, is really where the word logical comes from, and it's intelligent. I find that very interesting. This is your intelligent service to God. In other words, with everything that Christ has done, that God has worked out through Jesus Christ, it's just makes sense for us to present ourselves to Him, a living sacrifice. It just makes sense. He goes on to say in the next verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's pretty powerful too. I'm going to ask you something real quick tonight. Have you ever had a what was I thinking moment? Do you ever have one of them? I think if we went around the room, we all could share, yeah, oh yeah, I did. I just want to share a few with you that came to my mind as I was thinking about this verse from Romans 12:2. I was a young fella and should have known better, but I got a hold of some matches and I had heard from a friend that gasoline is pretty flammable. And I remember to this day, it still bothers me what I did. I said, I want to just see how this stuff will burn. But I said, I don't want it to spread because gasoline's dangerous. And so we had a crawl space. Do you know where this is going? Yeah, and you know, it was, I said, the crawl space had a little bit of a part that came out. And it was sunken in. It was like a little pit, but it was covered. I took that off. I said, well, this will contain it. And I put a little gasoline there. It's absolutely true. And I lit that, and then it started flaring up. And I said, oh, my goodness, what was I thinking? And so I got some water to put it out. And you know what happens when you put water on it? And I said, what am I thinking? And it started going under the house. Now, I was young, 22. No, I was young, but and thank God, I think I ended up putting dirt on it. It went out. But what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking, right? Another one that I have to tell you, my poor mother. We were in Arizona. I was 13 years old. And we were enjoying. If you haven't been to Arizona, if you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, it's awesome. It's just, isn't it, Amy? I ruined it for them because of a phobia. But anyway, you know, I was 13 years old, and my mother, my family, they're all looking. There was a fence, and then a little bit of downhill, and then a big cliff. And I thought it'd be so funny if I snuck around that fence, you know, and I jumped up and surprised them from the other side. I mean, there was a huge cliff behind me. You know, I wouldn't go 100 feet near that now. But I went around and I popped up, and I can still see the expression on my mother's face. It was like, Bill, my father's name, Bill, because she didn't want to yell at me because she thought I'd back up. So she was like, Bill, and I'll tell you something. When I got from behind that fence, I didn't have a fear of the cliff. I feared her. My mother said to me, "What were you thinking?" I said, "I thought it would be funny." Started my career as being humorous. I'll tell you one more dumb thing I did. I can't believe this, but I wasn't alone, so that's why I'm sharing one last one that I had company with. But you know, this was really something. We got a hold of some bow and arrows, and we thought, let's wait till dark and shoot these things straight up in the air. It takes humility to share this with you. We were college kids. We were. And you know, they started coming down. And John Pellizzari said to me, "What were we thinking?" Well, you know, we can laugh about it now. But the truth is, each one of those stories that I shared could have had a much more disastrous ending to it, right? And all because I wasn't thinking. And I want to bring out something from this scripture that, on a spiritual sense, the apostle is saying to us, I want you to be thinking. It's important that you're thinking. That we who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, who have given our hearts to Him, who have come into the revelation that God is not some far-off deity, but know that God has worked for centuries and decades and years and time to draw us close, that we might know Him in a real way through the blood of the Lamb. He doesn't want us who have been bought not with silver or gold, as Peter says in 1 Peter, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, to be foolish enough to have something so disastrous happen to us spiritually because we weren't thinking. I have to say, sadly enough, I've been in the ministry in one sense or another for over 34 years. And in my time, I've watched some. And I cried in my spirit, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? Because it came to disaster. Well, another translation of this verse from Romans 12:2 says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I like that. The original is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, Christ wants to renew our mind. He wants us to think different now that we're saved. He doesn't want us to fall into what the world does. He wants our thoughts to be set on things above. And this translation says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you just fit in without even thinking. Or the word there is a pattern. You know, it's so easy to do that. Let me ask you, since you have been saved by Christ, are you thinking differently? Are you falling out of the pattern of what your friends are doing? I found some patterns that are still stuck in our Christian walk sometimes. Three of them. Number one is this. I have every right. Entitlement. That's big today. You know, I have every right. And what does that mean? How does that come across with that entitlement spirit Well, don't tell me. You can, don't tell me. I don't need you to tell me. I have a right to think what I have. I, you know. And I find that this is a dangerous way for us. I remember one time I was driving this... well, she actually was a camper here. But she, I used to drive her from Kingsburg to Spotswood to our prayer meeting. I'm trying to think of her name. Doherty. What's her first name?
Jen
Doherty. Maybe some of you know her. So she was in the back seat. Somebody else was in the front seat. And we're heading out the 40-minute or so drive to Spotswood for a prayer meeting. And I'm talking to them, you know. I want to sow into these young people's lives. So I'm talking to them about the Lord. I'm glad they're coming with me. And I'm rattling on like I do. And there, I look in the rearview mirror and I go, isn't that right, Jen? And she's doing this. You know? She's not saying anything. She's just doing this. And I'm like, well, that's different. And I'm going on again, you know, and God can meet us and we want to pray through. And then I see this. I don't have a clue. I'm like, so I said to the guy, I said, you know what she's doing? I said, she's doing like Indian signs or something. I don't know what this is. She's going like this and like this. And what is that? What's that mean? And you know what she was, do you know what she was saying? Whatever, loser, is what she was saying to me in sign language. I said, Jennifer, where'd you get that stuff? She started laughing. I said a few things about her, too. But you know, that's a funny story. But it's not funny. It's not funny when you get a spirit of entitlement and you can't be told anything. I say sometimes to folks, I say, when you're sitting under a pastor and you're sitting under him for years, then you have to realize that if the pastor makes a suggestion, that maybe it's a good idea to follow it. And if you don't think that, then you should really find someplace else, right? Doesn't that make sense? That's what I mean. You fall into just not thinking. Well, how about this one? It doesn't affect me. I can listen to that music, and I still love Christ. It's not going to affect me. What are you thinking? Or I can go to that movie. I can watch those movies. I know it's filled with curses, but that doesn't affect me. Right? Or, you know what? I know there's a lot of junk on the internet, but that doesn't really affect me because, you know, I know I'm saved. I know. It just doesn't affect me. It may affect you, but it doesn't affect me. Right? See, that's disastrous thinking. If you're here tonight and all of a sudden you're feeling a little twinge of conviction, I just want to say to you in love and in grace, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? It's going to affect you, absolutely. How about this? I've heard this a lot. And this is a simple one. Well, God understands. God knows I'm human. See, that's the problem. You're human. Right? That was the whole reason he had to come and save us and rescue us. There's more, but I don't want to prolong this tonight. Let's flip to Ephesians. He gives us some help there. Ephesians 5. I'll refer to this real quick. When you turn to Ephesians 5, he begins by this. He says, therefore, be imitators of who? Of God. As dear children, be imitators of God. Now, that's something to think about. And then he goes on about walking in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, from 3 to 5, he has a whole list of things that are absolutely going to affect us if you're in them, because you're not going to get in the kingdom if you are in them. Right? Fornication, covetousness, a whole list. Filthiness, On and on he goes, all the way through 5. Then he comes to 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And I want to focus on verse 8. He says to these Ephesians, he says, for you were once what?
Darkness.
You were once darkness, he says to them. And they were. You were once darkness. Have you ever been in total darkness? I'm going to tell you about it in a little bit. I have been. Both physically and naturally and also spiritually. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I want you to note that. Walk as children of light. What a call that is. It means that, why, Lord, I'm constantly thinking about that. I'm to be a children of light in this world today. I'm a child of yours. I'm to be a light to the guy I work with. I'm to be a light to my family. I'm to be a light to those in school, to my neighbor. I'm to be a source of light. Years ago, a couple of us guys, we decided, well, actually it was with Danny Smith, who lived up here. He said, let's go investigate the graphite mines. And they're up on Hague Mountain. Can't get in them now. They're all barred up. And that when we went, they weren't. But there were about 5 of us guys, and we said, let's go. And Danny Smith had a nice lantern, and he, you know, those kind of lanterns that get really bright and the mantles glow. And he said, we're going to investigate this mine. It'd be awesome. Well, we did that. So we got down, and we got down to, I think, about the 3rd level of those mines. Some nice train tracks that just went into run into crystal clear water because that bottom of that shaft flooded. And as we were viewing the mystery of that deep underground, Danny, who was saying something to us, was swinging his arms, and he hit the lantern up against a rock. And you know what happens when you hit those lanterns up against a rock? The lights go out. And we were in absolute pitch darkness. Couldn't see a thing. And it was like, oh, my goodness. And I heard Dan go, sorry. That's all he said. Sorry. We're going to die. And you say you're sorry. There's no light. And so we were like, well, what do we do? And James Imordino was with us. And I don't know if it was him or it might have been John and Pelizzeri. Anyway, one of them had just a small, none of us brought any flashlights except he had a small kind of pen light. But you know what happened? We tough, rough 19 and 20-year-olds formed a conga line in that tunnel. And you know, the most important person to us was I think it was James Imordino, with that pen light. We just followed him, and nobody let go. But you know, I thought of that illustration. I thought of that event. We got out of there, in case some of you were wondering. We got out, but you know, the most important thing at that time, in that cave, in those mines, the most important thing was the man with the light. You know, the thing that attracted us was that he had a light. And if I thought, let that stick in our heads. Because whether you're in a dark place working, you know, where it's dark and maybe the language ain't the best and maybe the stories, you know, you're the most important thing there. Because you're a child of God and you're to walk in light. So important it is. Well, I wanted to just for us to look at where that source of that light is. And he tells us, the apostle tells us in the very next verse, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You can't do that unless you have that light, right? He says in 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Remember that commercial, "What's in your wallet?" Well, maybe we need to ask, what's in your closet, right? What's hiding in that closet of ours, right, in that sense? The apostle says, "For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." He goes in 13, he says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Now that's something for us to consider and think about. Let's just talk about that a minute before we look at one more thing here. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." You know, the world has a lot of secrets. They have a lot of things, forget their wallet, in their closet. You know what's scaring me today? A lot of the things that the world, as the apostle says, is so shameful, that is hidden and it's secret, is out and accepted. Isn't it true? Out and accepted. But he says that the light ought to expose those things. And what we need to think about here is this: how much is our life exposing what's wrong? You know, how much is our walking in the light exposing what's wrong? Or do we just blend in well? I think that's what we need to think about tonight. And that's what the Apostle Paul was getting at. Said that, look it, you ought to be thinking, if you're fitting too well with the pattern of things, and your pattern is the same as the world's pattern, well, then there can't be light. But the world ought to know that we're walking differently, right? And not only that we're walking differently, but the world ought to know that we don't, not that we're better than them, but the way we walk and what we have has nothing to do with the darkness. Well, let me put it this way, if I can. I want to tell you about two people that I've known in my Christian walk. The one person was so good at saying, "We can't do that. We shouldn't do that. You don't, you know." And when we were with them, I remember some of us, my friends, whenever somebody would come up with an idea of something that wasn't quite right, be like, "Well, we can't do that. I live for Jesus." And that was good. Were they right? Yeah, they were right in saying that. And it was very convicting. And we knew what we had to do. Not hang out with that person. It was simple. They were absolutely right, but you know, I want to tell you about this other person that came into my life. The other person was fun to be around. We enjoyed this person. They could have as much fun, laugh. We had a great time. But because of something inside them, because of their experience with Christ, we couldn't do those things around them. We just couldn't. Because they had an essence of Christ. Because they must have found something in their closet that was exposing the wrong things in us without saying it. They were the fragrance of Christ, and that made all the difference. So the apostle says here, live your life thinking, be a light, walk that light. But he says here in 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So what do we do? Well, he closes out with five things here, and I'm going to go over them quickly. And Christ will give you light. Here are five things we're to do. And the first thing is it's found in 15. So then, see then that you walk, how? You know it, right? circumspectly. Walk carefully. Walk looking around. When you're looking around, you're thinking. He says, not as fools, but as wise. The second thing he tells us here is this: redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's so important too. You know, we can waste so much time. How do we waste time? Now, I could give you a list. I could give you a list of good ways to waste time. You know, I spent some time wasting time. But I'm going to go ahead and mention this, not to sow condemnation on you if you're into this. But watch out for these video game things. You got to watch out for the internet. I just have to say it. Just be careful. Because one day you'll go, what was I thinking? We had a fella in the chapel. You know, he got, when the video game started to be big, you know what he did? You're smiling because I know some of you probably play it, but you got to think a little bit. You know what he did? He was on that video game, and one night he said, you know what I did? I almost went 48 hours playing the video game. I said, whoa, congratulations. That's great. Did you win? God finally got a hold of him to where he one night he realized, you know what he said? He said, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I doing? Spending so much time on this thing. And I think I've mentioned this story before. He shows up over my place and he says, Brother Keith, I got something I want to show you. I got something I want to donate to the church. Now, I was hoping it was his car. But what he had in the trunk was his computer. And he said, what was I thinking? This is taking away from me. And so he donated. That night I played plenty of video games. No, I didn't. But he came to, what was I thinking? Just a few more. How about this? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you think much about that? God, what is your will? What is your will for me? He goes on here to say in 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are five things, the apostle says, this is what we can do as children of light. Let me just real quick. What's the first one? Be careful. Think about where you're walking. Think about it circumspectly. Don't walk as a fool. Redeem the time. Don't be unwise, but think about the will of the Lord. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then that last one, to speak to one another. It's good to speak to one another about the things of God. So important that we do. We can talk about so many things. It's good to sing, make melody in our hearts. We need to learn how to share more, not only in church, but outside of church, of all that God is doing for us. There's a great song in our hymnal that I learned here at camp. It was immediately a song that I knew would bring Christ to me in a greater way. It's number 43. We're going to sing that in closing, and then I want to invite you to, if you want to wait on the Lord, if you're tired and you need to retire for the evening, you feel free to do that. But if you want to just sit for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just wait on the Lord, think of Him, consider Him, meditate on Him, then feel free to do that. Let's stand together. It's number 43 in our white books. Live out thy life with We thank you. We're thankful, Lord God, that you made it possible for us to walk in the light, to be children of light, to be imitators of you. We're thankful, Lord God, that you, in your grace as well, warns us. Thank you that we can set our mind on things above. We pray, Father, that you'll help us by the Holy Spirit to think, to consider, to be, wise and not foolish. We pray, Lord God, that you will just, even this night, whether we rest, whether we return to our places, or whether we wait on you, to consider, Lord, your word and consider you. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Keep us once again, Lord, we ask, under your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.